Unitarian Universalists are always asking questions. This is part of our history and our tradition to keep seeking, right? Growing our hearts and our minds and our spirits through inquiry, but not just through individual inquiry, though I am quite the fan of reading and listening to the works of others in my spare time. But that kind of learning is kind of one way, right? I absorb. We also learn through conversations, through not only listening to each other's ideas and reflections, but letting those spark new ideas within and then sharing those, right? So who knows what will emerge next? And when we run into the thing in life that prompts us to ask hard questions, much of the time, what we're really doing is looking for compassionate, shared reflection. I don't think anyone actually knows the answers to the questions that Reverend Gretchen posed. Thank you, Eva. I think a lot of the time we just want to make space to talk about the things and to hear what each other have to say so we can figure out what we think or feel or believe and know that we're not alone. This is one of the reasons that Unitarian Universalism is a living tradition. We learn as we do this, and that changes us, and our faith tradition changes with us. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know exactly if that's why the tradition of the question box service began, but I do know that UU congregations have been doing services like this since the 1970s. And we do them in the spirit of relationship, right? In this space we make sacred together. A question, after all, says something about the person asking. And a response says something about the person responding. And the process of asking and responding is part of making relationship between those people. And so this is more about me responding to your questions than it is about answers. I am probably at this point known to say, I do not know the answers. Let's figure it out together. I guarantee you that I will come up with smart answers as I drive home later. And way smarter answers 2 or 3 days from now, while I'm still thinking about your questions. But the point today is not for me to be as smart as possible, but rather for us to trust that what we're about to create together will be real and connecting for us rather than perfect. This service is about asking and exploring questions as a spiritual act towards sparking something new within and between us, which is why I ask you to write your name on your card. When I know who I'm responding to, I can help nurture our relationship. So I'll collect the cards in the sanctuary now, and I'll invite our virtual participants to type your questions in the chat now. If you have done it sooner, I actually won't see it. So do it again if you've already done it. I will alternate between cards and chat questions until around 10:45. Ish. I have learned from experience that I will not get to all your questions, and I will find some way to be in communication with you about that as we continue our journey together. All right, so I gotta be fair. Look. Thank you. I'm gonna tuck it in the middle somewhere. Do you think you'll stay at Reed? I love you here. I really do. I love you all so much. And I love being here. I love being your minister. I've been here for nine years. This is my 10th year. This was not supposed to make me cry. I will stay at Reeve as long as it serves all of us, which means my needs and your ministry and my ministry, they all have to continue to work together really well. And when they don't, I will go. And you'll be ready for your next minister. Don't be sorry. Thank you. How do you respond to people who think you use or obsessed with process, i.e. an abundance of committees, meetings, analyses, intellectualizing, even questioning? Do you think this is part of a stereotype of UUs? That's a great question, Peggy.
Read the question again.
Sure. It's hard to think and read at the same time. How do you respond to people? Oh, I forgot to do the chat. I'm going to do that next. How do you respond to people who think UUs are obsessed with process, like an abundance of committees, meetings, analyses, intellectualizing, even questioning? Do you think this is part of a stereotype of UUs? There's so much flooding through my head. I think I'm not going to answer this. I'm going to respond to it like I said I would. I think that process is a really important part of our theology, right? As we learn, we change. That's process. As we know more about God or the infinite or each other or what moves between us, we change. And as we change our church, our congregation, our community, and that's process. That's not quite what you're getting at. Peggy's talking about the logistics of having meetings and committees and analyses and intellectualizing. And I think in a democratic faith tradition that we are, we have to do those things. We have to meet so we can listen to each other. We have to meet so we know that the things we're planning are things that serve the community. Yeah. I don't necessarily, your other question is, do you think this is part of a stereotype of UUs? And I'm not sure I think it is. I don't know. But I think I land on the side of saying to people who say, well, why do you have so many meetings? Well, because we have to meet together to figure things out together. That's all I got. I'll have something better in 2 days. All right, what's happening in the chat? Preparing meeting. I think I got kicked off. That means that anything you put in the chat, I can't see. Brett, is there a question in the chat you can share with me?
Yeah, it's from Rhonda.
Okay.
The question is, relating to the first principle, how can I find worth and dignity in someone like Trump?
Ooh, that's a good one. So for those of you who didn't hear that, regarding the first principle, how can I find worth and dignity in someone like Trump? Somebody asked that on the question wall too, and I wrote it down. I can tell you how I find it. I don't know how you find it. I believe that even people who act out of selfish, narcissistic, self-serving, power-grabbing, hungry ways, no names mentioned, are human beings like me, and they do the things they do for reasons that I can't fathom, but are reasons. I'm a universalist, which means that I don't believe in hell outside of what we find here on Earth. And I think the basis of that universalist theology is the understanding that in our Christian history, God loves each and every one of us because we are all God's children. I think it's not up to me to love everyone because I can't. Especially people that challenge me the way people with those behaviors do. To use Christian language, I think I have to give that up to God. Right? I think, and I think what I said before, I think we're all humans. It's inherent worth and dignity. It's not worth and dignity based on my actions, right? I think we're all humans and we are all grounded in love, even if we don't know how to be it.
Thanks.
Why no announcement of Moses meeting here on September 10th and encouraging people to come? Excellent question, Joe. Yep. Mostly oversight on my part. So announcements on Sunday mornings, the process of that is that I look through the weekly email and I go, okay, this is timely, this is important, and it's all through my filter. And I missed that one. So there's a Moses meeting being held here on September 10th. Moses, I'm sorry, Diane.
You're being joined, Carl.
Great. So that's an announcement. So that might not actually be a joy or sorrow. It's a technicality. So Moses is Moses organizing in strength, equity, and solidarity. Is that right? They are a, I don't think faith-based anymore, right? But they're an organization of congregations and groups and individuals who work to bring reform to the criminal justice system, including working on mass incarceration, the over-incarceration of Black and other people of color. And they'll have a general meeting here on September 10th. Thank you, Jim. Brett, can you share something from the chat?
Reeb is a member.
Reeb has been a member. Is Reeb a founding member, I believe?
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have one last question from Jim. It's Jeanette Bobcat. How did you feed your soul this summer?
How did I feed my soul this summer? Thank you, Jeanette. Every summer I travel to Northern Michigan with my teenager. I like to wake up in the Porcupine Mountains on my birthday, which is in July. And so that's what we did. We were in the Porcupines on my birthday, and I walked in the woods and I swam in the very cold lake, and I collected a little water for our water communion service that will happen in early September, same weekend as the Moses meeting, September 10. I read a lot about reparations, partly because part of feeding my soul is learning, partly because I'm in a minister's study group that is studying reparations this year, and I have to write a paper in November. And I hung out with my kid, who's going to college next year, and I am treasuring every single minute. What are your favorite and least favorite parts of ministry? Thanks, Eva. This is probably going to be the last one. I'm looking at the times. My favorite parts of ministry are getting to know people, getting to speak about things that are important to me and to us as Unitarian Universalists. Flexible schedule on most days. Singing. Worship in general. I love worship. I love being in this room. And being with you all as you, like, individually, but, well, I mean, as a group, but individually and in our small groups, when you all are going through something that you need your minister to, or you want your minister to journey with you through, sitting with people as they learn that they're dying is one of the biggest gifts that I've been given in this work. Getting to be with people when they say their vows to each other on their wedding days is amazing. Just getting to be with people, getting to be with you. My least favorites, email. Email. I get a lot of email, and I don't want to say don't email me. That's not what I mean. Like, because that's part of being with people, right? Is using that as a tool to be with you all. But boy, I get a lot from not in the congregation. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of calls for things. I get email calls to go do things and be part of things, and that's all really good and inspiring. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Administration in general. I love our staff. I hate having to be a boss. I don't do it now. Well, I don't feel like I do it naturally. Y'all might have various experiences and opinions, but it doesn't come naturally. Yeah. 10:45. This is so much fun, though. Do them all. Do them all means we're going to be here till like 11:30. I'll do another one or two. Should you use proselytize? How and how can we grow as a religion? Thanks, Mike. This is one of my favorite topics. Yes, we should. We should not proselytize in the evangelical way of trying to convert people or tell them they're going to hell or scare them or intimidate them or manipulate them in any way. But we should be talking about the gifts this faith gives us to our friends and our neighbors. We should be inviting people to come to church, you know, especially if we love it and we get something out of it. Like, why not share that with people? I try to encourage people to write an elevator speech, you know, a thing that you can say from one floor to the next if somebody says, what is Unitarian Universalism? Let's do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to offer an after service session. And we're going to write our elevator speeches. I know not all of us are as on fire about this faith as I am. We come here for lots of different reasons, but why not talk about those? For sure.
We should have a revival.
So Sunday, October 1st, there's going to be a revival style service here in this room. I have no idea what that's going to look like yet, but it's going to be lots of fun and worshipful at the same time. There used to be a Bring a Friend Sunday.
We haven't done that for a long
time. Let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah, who's on the membership team? Elaine, remind me when we meet in membership. Bring a Friend Sunday. And how can we grow as a religion? I think exactly in that way. I think sharing the good news of this amazing faith is how we grow our religion, and we're too shy about it. Just my opinion. How do I persuade an adult, my son, to seek mental health services when he's unwilling and refuses to be in touch with me? Can we talk after service? I don't know, but I think we can talk about that together and maybe come up with something useful for you. Yeah. Some of these are going faster than others. Let's keep going. How do we revitalize joyful, freewheeling creativity after COVID and in the midst of our awareness of our privilege? Hi, Carol. Thank you. Yeah. So that announcement you heard about looking for a group of people willing to do some planning and running of fun events, there's been conversation among many of our leaders, our board, our worship team, about creating a revival team, about putting a group of people together who can think about this really well with me and come up with things to revitalize. I think some of how worship feels today is part of that, right? The worship team has been working really hard, and I'm going to talk about worship specifically for a second. Worship team and I have been working really, really hard to make worship feel more accessible, engaging, participatory. We're not, whatever there is, we're not there. But I love that y'all like sometimes clap when something beautiful happens, right? I love that y'all are willing to get up and sing along to a song you don't know. I love that you all, like, we ask you to turn to a neighbor you don't know at the end of the service before you get into your little groups of people you do know, and you do it. Like, that's part of this. The way y'all are so welcoming is part of this. I think we're doing some things, and I think we really need to get some energy into an explicit team of folks focused on us. Yeah. And in the midst of our awareness of our privilege, like, that's a sermon. I'll do a sermon on that. Two more? All right. Let's do it. In the starting song, what do we mean by lover of leaving? Yeah. So the words to that are from Rumi. And so Rumi was a long ago prophet in the, I think, Islamic tradition.
Persian.
Thank you. Persian poet and prophet. Persian. He tells me leave my head sometimes when I'm off the cuff. The kind of understanding of what he meant by that is that we sometimes leave things. And sometimes we come back and sometimes we don't. And if you are someone who needs to leave, we still love you and welcome you. And if you come back, we're even happier. Like, that's my take on it. I Google it. Like, if you want to know the scholar's take, I don't know the scholar's take, but that's my interpretation. And a doozy to finish. Is anybody else typing things into the chat? Okay. A doozy for the last one. What is the purpose of human life? Where is Alice? 42. What movie is that from, for people who don't know?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Book and movie. The meaning of life is 42, they say. The purpose of human life. You know, sometimes I think I know, and sometimes I think I have absolutely no idea. For me, as a Unitarian Universalist, the purpose of life is to make sure that life thrives. That's why I'm a justice minister. So the purpose of human life, we're stewards, we're caretakers, right? Of each other, of Earth, of the
non-human or more than human beings. We hold all of that in our care. I think that's kind of, for me, that comes out of my science background. We are the only that we know of, we are the only living beings that have the capacity to reflect and to, you know, be intentional about our actions. And I think there's a responsibility that comes with that, that is part of our purpose, scientifically, theologically, as a person who uses the word God to describe what arises within us and between us when we are in relationship. The purpose of human life is to make better relationship, to bring that into being, to bring that love into being. Probably another sermon.
Yeah.
But that's the quick answer. Response.
That's the quick response.
Thank you.
Thank you. This service and the ritual services, water communion, fire communion, these are my favorites.
Oh.
I love this. Thank you. Okay. back to script. I have a closing reflection. This is from the Reverend Linda Hansen. Much of our human struggle is what is with what we do not know or understand. It is often difficult not to want answers, or even more difficult not to think we have them already. May we experience what we do not know as an individual failure, but as an invitation to community. May we seek not the true answers so much as the true questions, knowing that true questions make of our lives meaningful, even if sometimes restless journeys. May we be grateful for all of the restless voices in our community. May it be so, and may we be so.
Amen.